So we've been talking about the Pentecostal movement, and anyone else? So, in discussing the whole Pentecostal movement, we've actually talked about it about the last 3 weeks. Didn't have any idea we were going to spend that much time on it, but there's a lot. You could probably spend a lifetime studying all these different denominations and different doctrines that they have, and still never cover it all. I'm not sure that wouldn't be a wasted effort. I say that because I would rather spend my time studying the truth. And when I see something that is not true, I don't need to know every untruth. All I need to know is the truth. Should we be wise in some things? Sure. Should we know how to refute false doctrine? Sure. Well, how are you going to refute false doctrine? By knowing the truth. You need to be well-versed. You need to know what you believe. I dare say, not to be offensive, but to just be very straightforward with you, I dare say, and I can say this even of myself, I'm sure there are those of us in here that say we believe something, but if someone asked us to explain why we believe it, we couldn't. If you really be honest with yourself, we are spiritually lazy. We're okay eating out of someone else's hand. We're okay listening to what comes out of the pulpit and saying that's enough. Or hearing what we hear in a Sunday school lesson and saying that's enough. Or seeing a Bible verse on a plaque in a house and saying that's enough. Not really giving it any meditation or thought or study. I'll go beyond even this church. I would be interested to do a survey of Baptist churches and the members of the Baptist churches and ask them if they could explain the doctrine of baptism and see how many can actually give you a biblical definition of baptism. Not just, well, it's, you know, the first act of obedience. It's, you know, necessary for church membership. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. What verse? Give me a chapter and a verse and explain it to me. I'm guilty of this too, okay? Not right now, but I've been guilty of it. There's other areas that I'm guilty of this, okay? Before we went through FBI, probably one of the greatest things that I got out of FBI was when it covered actually this whole Pentecostal movement and the doctrine of tongues and faith healers and all that. Phenomenal. That was a phenomenal study. I never could explain. I just knew we didn't do tongues. We didn't do tongues. Why? Because the Bible says so. Where does it say that? Well, somewhere in there between the covers. Is that not most of our stance? Let's be honest. I'm going to ask for a little bravery today. Raise your hand if you think you can scripturally... Now, you don't have to quote verses, but you know where you can go in your Bible. doctrinally, scripturally, and speak about tongues. Maybe four or five of us. Now, if you ask me right now, okay, Brother John, where in the Bible, what book, chapter, and verse? I can tell you in Acts. Acts deals a lot with tongues. If you ask me to roll it right off my memory, what chapter? I don't know why I'm wanting to say 26, but I don't think that's right. Now, I'm going to say, but Pastor's back here shaking his head no. He can. I'm sure there's probably others in here that can too. But I can tell you this. My brain don't work like that. Now, you can say that's a cop-out, but because I know that, I make notes. If I'm going to deal with tongues, I got it wrote down. So when I need to deal with that, I know where to go reference. How many of y'all do that? Should you?
Definitely.
Should you know how, where? Let me ask you, if you're going to go to, who in here knows where Culpeper, Virginia is? I know there's a couple of us in here that know because we've been there. So most of you don't know where Culpeper, Virginia is, right? Never heard of it. So if I told you we're going to Culpeper, Virginia, how would you get there?
I could get my GPS out.
You'd have to look it up, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to have a reference.
Yeah.
If I told you to take I-74 West to go to Culpeper, Virginia, would you believe me?
No.
Why? But how many of you, if I told you to take I-74 West, would jump on I-74 West and head to Culpeper, Virginia? Huh? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Something to think about. A lot of us are good enough just knowing that it's south somewhere. I know it's south. But what if I told you to take... What if I told you to take... 31 or 41 south. Huh?
That's what it's saying.
It's south of here, southeast. I'm just making a point. Don't get carried away with it. The point is. Well, okay. So this is a good point. The point is, you better know where you're going.
Exactly.
And you better know how to find out where you're going. Mm-hmm. You better know where to look. So if you're dealing with, well, like Erica, we know she's dealing with Catholic parents. There are certain doctrines that you really, you need to know them all, but there are certain things you really need to be well-versed in. So get you a notepad or use your computer, whatever, however you do it. What are the key sticking points that you need to deal with your parents? Church authority, baptism, works, I'm sorry, purgatory, eternal security. I mean, there's a litany of things to deal with there, but the point is, write them down. Look them up. Write the references down. Study the references. Don't just read the verse. Break the verse itself down with what the rest of the Word of God says. You know, when you go through here in my Bible, in the middle, there's these, in the margins, there's all these, you ever wonder what those are? You know what those are? They're references. They say, go from this scripture to this one. And you read that one. And then there'll be one here. And it says, go to this one. And you go to this one. Now make sure you got a good King James Bible that you, endorsed. But the point is, Those are there so that you can look at what the rest of the Word of God has to say on this topic. Okay? This is how you do a topical study. All right? This is how we build doctrine. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here, there, here a little, there a little. The whole counsel of God. Write this stuff down. It doesn't take hours, people. You could do 20 minutes a day for 1 week on baptism. And I guarantee you, at the end of the week, you come back to this class and we have a conversation about baptism, you're not going to sit there and be quiet. We're going to have interaction. You're going to talk about it because you're going to want to share what you've learned. You can't help it. That's the way it works. And you know what? You're going to feel confident because the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you in all truth. And in that, you're going to be able to speak soundly. Right?
Not only that, you'll remember it better.
Right. You remember what you work to attain more than you're going to remember what's handed to you. I know I've got stacks of pamphlets and little things that I've accumulated. Oh, I'm going to read that. Man, that's going to be, I won't ever get to it. You know what I remember? What I study, what I invest myself in. Anyways, point is, we really need to be honest with ourselves in this room, in this church, as a body of believers. We really, really need to start. You know, let me be honest with you. It's embarrassing when you're exposed. I get exposed all the time. It's very embarrassing. My wife challenges me daily. And I'm just like, man. Sometimes she'll catch me on something and I'm like, I don't like that. But that's good. That's good. To be honest with you, we should not allow, because that's pride. That's rooted in pride. If you really want to grow as a Christian, and you really want to become more effective as a soul winner, you're going to have to get past the embarrassment of saying, I don't know. And you're going to be very, very, you don't have to be honest with me or the pastor or anybody else. Now, it would help if you did. Okay? But the reality is, you just need to come to terms, just like every one of us has to, and says, you know what? I just really don't apply myself like I should. I really don't study like I should. God, convict my heart. You begin to pray that prayer, God, convict my heart to spend more time in your word and study. You might not even feel that way starting out. But you start praying that, and I guarantee you God will start dealing with your heart. God will bring somebody into your life, and they'll say, hey, you know, this whole thing with the get saved. You ever have an opportunity to sow win? Like when it's put right in front of you, God just brings somebody in your path to lead to the Lord. And I mean, it's like picking low-hanging fruit. And you're not ready? The weight of that will convict your heart. I've been there. Walking tall, thinking I really knew something. Thinking I was this big spiritual Christian. And then somebody came along my path that really needed to know the truth, and I wasn't prepared to share it with them. I wasn't prepared to take them in the Word of God. Sure, I could tell them, well, yeah, you know, Jesus died for your sins, you know, and you just, you know, repent and confess Jesus with your mouth and you're saved. Is that true?
It is true.
In general speaking.
Verses connected to that to prove that the word is the truth.
Nobody gets saved without this.
Mm-hmm.
you're not leading anybody to Christ without this. And if you don't know it, how can you share it with them? Sister?
I was just going to say, when I was young, I thought I knew everything. I was in New York, passing out tracts. And you know Jehovah's Witnesses, they know a lot. They're very well versed in whatever their religion is. But she told me, she approached me, and she started talking to me about all kinds of crazy stuff, just basically her religion, the Jehovah's Witness. And when she walked away, she said, "You need to study your Bible more."
Isn't that a slap in the face?
And I was just out there trying to do a good thing, passing out tracts, and she really did. She got me on all kinds of stuff. And I had no idea how to respond to her on her Bible verses that she was throwing at me.
It's gut-wrenching, isn't it? So, point is, why are you here? Really, be honest with yourself. Why are you sitting in this class? Just be quiet for 1 second. Why are you sitting here? That's between you and God. But you're going to give account of it one day. Can sit up here all day long and truthfully, I'm not. I wouldn't pick me to teach this class. Okay? We can sit up here all day long. We can pick the most qualified person in the world to teach this class on soul winning. And if you don't have any desire to win a soul, it's all for nothing. If you don't care enough to apply yourself to understand what you believe, what's the point? It's not good enough to just punch your attendance chart, come in here, and okay, we had church this week, and okay, we're going to go out and we're going to live a good life, and you know, we're going to enjoy the promises of God selfishly, and hang on every word that is spoken from here. Paul talked about the Bereans that searched the scriptures daily to see those things whatsoever they heard were true. Why do you believe what you believe? What's to prevent me from coming in here and teaching you a bunch of heresy? What's to prevent him? Because, you know, he's a man. And it's possible. It happens all the time. And if you can't even sit in here and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit of truth is in unity with what he's saying here, how are you going to go out there and share it with the world if you don't really even believe it yourself? A lot of this is personal conviction. I'm not just talking to you. The reality is we're lazy folks and we don't care. We're selfish. We're carnal. We're sinful. And we are so tied into the things of this world. We care about our hunting, and we care about our fishing trips, and we care about our, those are my things, I don't know what your things are. Whatever it is, you know what it is. We care more about that. We care about our bank accounts. We care about our jobs. We care about our friends. We care about our Facebook image. Then we care about people literally dying right now and waking up in hell. I had a lesson prepared today. This ain't it. So, I guess the reality is, what good does it do to make a dinner if nobody eats it? That's one of my wife's complaints when she gets up and makes me breakfast. Like this morning, she gets up and makes me breakfast. I consistently go down and sit down and eat it cold, and really bothers her because she puts that effort into it. She makes me a nice, good breakfast, and I don't appreciate it. Now, I'm not saying that about y'all, that, oh, I put all this time and effort into it. I'm saying to us all, what are we doing? When's the last time we seen a new member of this church, somebody got saved? Who was the last person that got saved and became a member of this church?
Actually got saved in the services, not a youth.
Yeah. Who? Erica? Okay. What are we doing? Are we producing fruit? Because that's what the Bible says we'll be known by. We'll be known by our fruit. Well, right now, I'll be honest with you, I feel like my fruit would not get me convicted as a Christian. That bothers me. It bothers me that I care more about going deer hunting than I do going soul winning. Just being very honest with you. It ought to bother you. It ought to bother you that there's people out there being deceived, and we don't know how to. You're susceptible to deception yourself. How are you going to help somebody that's being deceived? Well, you could end up right there next to them. There's a time when I heard anything preached about salvation and certain scriptures were used. I was like, man, maybe I'm really not saved. Or maybe I lost my salvation. I guarantee you, there's somebody sitting in here. I would say it's a safe assumption that in this room right here, they might not admit it out of fear, but I'd be willing to bet there's somebody in this room that every time they hear certain verses on salvation, they're scared to death they can lose their salvation. Would anybody be brave enough to raise their hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Yeah. I dealt with that for a long time. Even though I knew, I was like, well, no, that's not what the Word of God says. But then I read this verse and it's like, wait a minute, maybe them people over there are right. Maybe we're wrong. I had to nail it down. You know why I'm confident today that I am born again and then there's nothing that is ever going to change that? Because of the promises of God. Because I quit eating here and I started eating here. Don't let us understand me. Preaching is good. We need preaching. Preaching. But that is not the foundation of our growth. Don't kid yourself and don't believe the lie of the devil that it is not your responsibility to help people that are deceived. So, real quick, I'll squeeze what little bit of this lesson I can, even, you know, that right there really is a lot of it. There's just a great truth that's become very solidified in my heart. And to be honest with you, that's really freed me in terms of witnessing. The weight of the matter is not on me. I'm a vessel, and I need to be prepared to speak what the Word of God has to say on any subject. And when that subject comes up, and if I'm not prepared, I have a responsibility to go get prepared. So the next time it comes up, I can go to the Word of God. And that's where I make notes. I'll put it in my phone. I'll write it on a scratch piece of paper, on a bulletin, on my whiteboard at home. Whenever the moment strikes, wherever I can get it wrote down, I write it down. So that I have some way to know where to go. I would encourage you to do the same. But the point is, you're not going to lead someone to Christ that doesn't want it. You know what? I'm going to witness to Travis as long as the Lord gives me opportunity. But I've accepted the reality that Travis may never repent. Now, am I going to allow that to defeat me? No, because I don't know the future. I'm just going to consistently try to grow in Christ, try to share the gospel with him every opportunity I have. Let the Holy Spirit work in his life. Pray. I pray daily that God will just make him absolutely miserable. But if someone wants to know the truth of the Word of God, God will prepare someone to take them the truth. Acts 8:26. I'll start reading just for time's sake. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So he came to Jerusalem to worship. So, what was he practicing? Was he practicing Christianity? He came to Jerusalem to worship, this Ethiopian eunuch.
No, he was worshiping an idol.
Well,
I don't believe at this time he was saved, if we're talking about it.
He wasn't. He was practicing Judaism, if I'm saying it right. He was practicing the Old Testament law, right? So he had been converted to Judaism. But he was reading, and it said, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. That's an Old Testament scripture, right? Yeah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they were on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Catch this. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There it is in a nutshell, folks. There was a man that was saved out of what Judaism, okay? So we know that, you know, prior to the coming of Christ, that the sacrifice and the law was, you know, was more a condition of heart. But without getting into all that, the point is, this man got saved because he read something and he knew the Spirit spoke to him. He said, no, wait a minute, there's something here. He was open. God sent Philip, and the man understood. I can't understand this unless somebody explains it to me. Well, the problem is there's a lot of people out there who want to do a lot of explaining and don't know what they're talking about. How many of them sit in this room? Think about it. We got close, but I really urge you. I want to challenge you. I want you to think right now. Baptism, salvation, tongues, faith healing, whatever it is. You think right this moment about a doctrine that is troubling to you. Write it down. Go home. Spend 20 minutes a day this week. Everybody in this room could spend 20 minutes a day. I promise you, you can. You can. 20 minutes a day. And biblically study that topic. At the end of this week, I want you to look back and see how much you've learned. And see how much more prepared you are to deal with that subject when you come across somebody that's in deception. Okay? You do that week after week after week, and you'll be prepared. You'll be very well versed to refute false doctrine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother John, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Worthy of our calling, and Father, we realize there's a lost and dying world out there, and Lord, help us now to become skillful in the use of the word, and Father, may we, as we go out there in the world, Lord, we're basically in a battle between good and evil, and Father, what you've done for mankind and what the devil is seeking to do to destroy mankind. And so, Lord, it really behooves us to be soldiers that are prepared and have on all of our armor that we can go out into battle and that we can be victors, Lord. And in thy power and in the word, we can conquer. Lord, help us now. And Father, help us to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of us. And Lord, just be with us this week now. Minister unto us as we take the challenge. We go home and we study. And whatever we don't know, and whatever anybody could ask us that we can't answer, help us to get into the Word and study it. And we thank you for this opportunity in this class now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.